Hey folks, Steph Edsel here, your therapy host for DBT Weekly. Some housekeeping first. I've had some people request transcripts, and I'm working on getting them ready to be viewed or uploaded. I honestly didn't know what I was doing when I started this, and truthfully, I still don't know all that much. I started this as a project for my grad program, and it kept on. I use my cracked iPhone 6S, the recording app, and a pair of headphones to record every week. I'm trying to edit the finished episodes I have with more in-depth titles. I appreciate the feedback. I welcome it. I am not a professional podcaster by any means. I will keep learning and trying to be as effective as I can be, and I appreciate the continued patience and understanding. Today I'm going to talk about the goals of emotion regulation and understanding and naming emotions. The overall goal of this module is to reduce emotional suffering. In DBT, we do this by understanding our own emotions. I know this has historically been laughed at and about. Feelings are for the weak. That is an emotional myth, and we will totally get into those. Next, we want to decrease the frequency of unwanted emotions. Ever felt like a prisoner of your emotions? So have many of our clients. Heck, I think we may all have at one point or another in our lives. This module will help you learn to decrease vulnerability to your emotion mind and learn to decrease emotional suffering. The goal is not to get rid of your emotions. Dang it, I know. I can guess. That's not what you were expecting to hear. And I wonder if you even believe it's entirely possible. Remember that some individuals will always be more sensitive than others. We are all very different, biologically, even though we are all human. So what is emotion regulation anyway? This is the ability to control or influence which emotions you have and when you have them. Emotion can be regulated automatically and consciously. In this module, we want to increase conscious awareness and control of emotions, provide so much practice regulating emotions that you will overlearn the skills, and finally, have the emotion regulation efforts become automatic. This is possible, I swear it. It takes a lot of work, and from my evaluation, we have become a society of quick fixes. Lots of instant gratification has done us in. So, learning what emotion regulation is, the opposite is emotion dysregulation. This is when the emotions are out of control or dysregulated, when you're unable, despite your best efforts, to change which emotions you have, when you have them, or how you express them. What emotions do you most want to change? We all have a go-to emotion. I want you to all think about what yours might be. I know mine is anger and sadness. I'm super comfortable being an angry little sprite. I stand about 5'1" on a good day, so you can just imagine an angry little Steph. Sadness I can do very well also. I'm not so good at fear, shame, guilt, or jealousy. So, a while back, I discussed the three areas of emotional vulnerability. Number one is being sensitive to emotional stimuli, meaning emotions are triggered very easily. This is what we talk about in our initial first few meetings with our clients. We discuss how sensitive they are, biologically wired that way, remember? It's not anyone's fault how they are born. Yet, here we are in 2019 making others feel inferior for having something like emotion. Doesn't make any sense. The second area is about having an intense emotional response. Once triggered, the emotion basically goes to the highest it can go. The third area is about the slow return to baseline, meaning without skills, it takes a significant amount of time to regulate the emotions. Usually people use ineffective methods to try to calm down, to get some relief. It won't work generally, and it keeps people in high suds. Often they are never able to reach zero. The hope is that with all these rad skills we've been going over for the last several months, that slow return can be much faster. Number one and two won't change. That is the one thing you need to be aware of. Being more sensitive is not a curse. Experiencing intense emotions as a result of a trigger, while also not a change, however, with skills use, as I said, that third area of vulnerability can be worked with. How do we decrease emotional vulnerability? Excuse me. It's possible to stop unwanted emotions from even starting with a super duper neat skill called Cope Ahead. If you know you're headed into a tough situation, why not use a Cope Ahead? A Cope Ahead is imagining yourself being successful in a situation, imagining what you will say and do and how you will display body language. Maybe you can do a bunch of distress tolerance skills right before the event or situation, and then once it's over and you have successfully survived, please do some self-soothing as a reward. You can't stop all painful emotions, but you can make changes in your environment and in your life to reduce how often negative emotions occur. Understand that emotions themselves are not bad or good. They just are. I know some of us have categorized them as good and bad, but remember those terms are learned and mostly used as shorthand for something else. Mostly, we want to reframe our thoughts to, is this emotion effective for me to have right now? Know that suppression of emotions only makes them worse. It's a short-term fix that makes bigger problems in the long term. Have I mentioned before that pain plus avoidance equals suffering? Well, I think I have, and I'm doing it again, because it applies here and now. Avoiding emotions actually makes them larger and more difficult to deal with. They'll be waiting for you around all the corners of your life. However, this emotion regulation concept is not for effective emotions, okay? Only the ones that are super painful and not helpful in that moment. We would not want to really make happiness decrease, or love for that matter. It doesn't make sense unless you're in love with somebody you have no business loving, and we'll talk about that later. Would you like to be able to change painful emotions once they start? I can almost bet the answer is yes. Are you afraid of losing all your emotions, hoping to get rid of them, or both? Well, good news, you can't. I mean, I don't know if that's good news for everybody. It's important to change emotions you want to change, not the ones others want you to change. Don't do this for them. You have to be the one to consider the pros and cons of keeping an emotion or its intensity. Regulation helps to balance emotion mind with reasonable mind to get into wise mind. Y'all remember wise mind? Maybe a review next week would be helpful. Before you can regulate your own emotions, understanding them is crucial. You can understand your emotions by learning to do two things. Number one, identify your own emotions. Research shows that the simple act of naming your emotions can help regulate them. There is a little saying, if you can name it, you can tame it. I learned that when I went to do training for another type of therapy called EMDR. The instructors kept saying it, and it stuck on me. So I brought it to group, and they have all responded fairly well. Remember, if you can name it, you can tame it. Number two, understand what emotions do for you. It can be really hard to change emotions when you don't understand where they come from or what they are there for. There are some factors that make this difficult, believe me. We will go into those in depth next session, but know that they are as follows. Biology, lack of emotion regulation skills, reinforcing consequences of emotional behaviors, moodiness that makes the effort to change or manage emotions difficult, emotional overload, example, feeling overwhelmed, and overwhelmed is not a feeling, just so you know. So you'd actually have to like go through all the emotions that you're experiencing to be able to calm them down, just because overwhelmed itself is actually not an emotion. And then we have those emotional myths. That's the last one that makes it difficult to regulate. And we talked about it briefly. Believing things like men don't cry or showing emotion means you're weak. Trust that we will get into that much deeper next time. Are you ready to hear what emotions do for us? Emotions have functions that help our species to survive. And emotional behaviors evolved as immediate, automatic, and efficient ways to solve common problems that humans and other emotional animals must solve to survive. In the slide we teach at group, There's a photo of a man in a boat, and an alligator is about to eat him up. The man is clearly trying to escape the boat as fast as he can. If he didn't have any emotion, he'd just be sitting there as fish food for sure. Not really caring, just hanging out with no feelings about the matter. Emotions do three things. They motivate and organize us for action. They communicate to ourselves, and they communicate to others. So let's talk about the first thing I said they do. They motivate and organize us for action. They literally prepare us physically for action. The action urges, or the urge to do something, basically, connected to specific emotions are largely hardwired into our biology. Emotions prepare our bodies to act. Emotions save time. They get us to act in important situations. We don't have to think everything through. We can react to situations extremely fast. You ever thought about that? Like in an emergency, it would not be super effective to start listing all the things going wrong. It's more effective to respond and react. Emotions can be hard to change. No joke? What? Insert giggle here. Emotions are hard to change when the associated behavior is very important. Example, if your house is on fire and you need to run for your life, it will be very hard to stop being afraid before you get away from the fire. Does that make sense? Our emotion being tied to a behavior could be tough to regulate. I'm going to list emotions and their organization responses as well as their motivation urges. Fear organizes our responses to threats to our life, well-being, or health. The urge is to escape from danger. Anger organizes our responses to the blocking of important goals or activities, or to an imminent attack on the self or to others that are important to us. The urge to defend the self or to gain mastery and control of others and situations will pop up. Disgust organizes our responses to situations and things that are offensive and contaminating. The urge experienced is to reject and distance ourselves from some object, event, or situation. Sadness organizes our responses to losses of something or someone important, and to goals lost or not attained. It motivates us to focus on values, pursue goals, communicate to others we need help. Shame organizes our responses related to personal characteristics or our own behaviors that are dishonoring or not approved by our own community, and the motivation urges to hide transgressions. And if these are already public, engage in appeasement-related behaviors. Like good old Bill Clinton in the 1990s with Monica Lewinsky. If you don't know, I suggest looking into it. It was a huge White House scandal involving lots of shame, I imagine, for the former U.S. president. Guilt organizes our responses to actions that have led to violation of values. The motivation urges to repair the violation. Jealousy, which is fear-based and almost always confused with envy, organizes our responses to others who threaten to take away relationships or things very important to us, and it motivates us to protect what we have. Envy organizes our responses to others getting or having things we do not have but want or need. The motivational urge is to work hard to obtain what other people have. Real quick about envy and jealousy. People often say, "Oh, I'm so jealous you went to the beach," for example. It's actually envy that they're experiencing, not jealousy. Unless the beach belongs to them and they are worried you'll take it away. Jealousy is being worried about what you already have being taken away. Does that make sense? I hear it all the time, and it's really hard to resist correcting the general public at times, so I sure hope they hear this podcast. Little laugh out loud. Okay, so love organizes our responses to reproduction and survival, and the motivation urges to seek out unions and attachments with others. Finally, we end with happiness, which organizes our responses to optimal functioning of ourselves, others we care about, or the social group we belong to. The motivation urge is to continue activities that enhance and foster pleasure and personal social value. So let's move on to the last topic of this podcast today. Emotions communicate to others, and I dare say they influence others as well. Facial expressions are biologically hardwired aspects of emotions. they can communicate faster than words. And you all know dang well what I mean. Ever had a parent give you the look as a kid? Wasn't fun. Probably meant a lot of crap was coming if you didn't mind your P's and Q's. That's why some emotional expressions have an automatic effect on others. Having both the verbal and nonverbal forms of emotional expression means having two ways of communication for important situations. Emotional expressions influence others, even if we don't mean to. So the example given is expressed anger may stop others' behavior. Disappointment expressed by a supervisor may result in improved work by the employee. Sometimes expressions of emotion get us something we don't want, even when we are not aware that our emotions are having such effects on others. Can you think of a time when this has happened to you? Emotions can be very hard to change when the communication is vital for the other to know. So say there is Julie and her son, Billy. Julie wants him to realize how dangerous the situation is. When Julie is trying to communicate this to Billy, it will be hard for her to stop being afraid. Otherwise, Billy may think the situation is not as dangerous as it actually is. If we want to communicate our anger, fear, or joy to someone, it is difficult to do this if we have to consciously organize what we say, our facial expression, our voice tone, our posture, etc. Does that make sense? Also, because communication of emotional responses is so important, it is also not in our best interest from an evolutionary standpoint to be able to shut off emotional communications easily. Even though some of us feel like it would be useful, what we know now is suppressing or cutting off emotion isn't helpful for the long run. What happens when verbal and nonverbal expressions of emotion don't match? Ever seen someone say they're fine and then they slam the door? Leaves you blinking, wondering what the hell just happened, knowing full well they are not fine. That's because we humans almost always trust the nonverbal expressions over the verbal ones. Emotions can be signals to check things out. You've heard the expression, trust your gut. That's what I'm talking about. Or when a person says they have a good feel for a situation. That's an emotion sending a signal. Information about situations based on emotions may or may not be accurate. Through trial and error, basically experience, you learn when to trust these emotional responses and when to believe they do not provide accurate information. Treating emotions as facts leads to difficulties. When carried to extremes, emotions are treated as facts. If I feel incompetent, I am. Or if I get depressed when left alone, I shouldn't be left alone. If I feel right about something, it's right. You may use your emotions as evidence that what you believe is correct, not that it is a fact, not to be disputed. So there you have it, the intro to emotion regulation. I will get into the factors that make emotions hard to regulate next week. For now, I want you to start naming your emotions when you have them. Notice where they are in your body. Usually they are in the core, not a pinky toe. I've never had anger in my elbow, but my shoulders and stomach, oh yeah, for sure. Notice what physiological changes you experience. See if you can try some mindfulness with the emotions, like, I'm noticing anger in my gut, my hands are sweating, my breathing is faster, I feel flushed in the face. See what happens to the emotion when you approach it like that. First, determine what the actual emotion is, then begin the exercise. That's all for this week. I hope you can find some success in naming your emotions and trying to better understand what they are trying to tell you or what their function is at the moment you are experiencing the emotion. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, please email me at uofudbt@gmail.com and I will reply within 24 hours. Thanks again for joining me. I look forward to you all being here again next week.